At some point, you're just broke. You know, at some point, there's just no money left. You know, if you have one failed sale of treasury bonds, if the Chinese and Japanese and Germans and others say, you know, we don't want to buy American treasury bonds anymore, that could trigger a big problem in America. Because the art of the deal is that Trump and the Democrats have agreed to spend $320 billion more to take all caps off from all spending. Donald Trump said we needed to shore up the military. And Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats said, no problem. We need a lot more money for social programs. Social programs, by the way, that can never be scaled back because anytime they try to, even slow the growth of those programs, oh, they hate old people. They hate children. And it just goes on and on and on. Maya McGinnis joining me, the president of the Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget. Maya, welcome back to the program.
Good morning. Nice to be here.
Good to have you here. But the fact of the matter is, Republicans, Democrats, they all make the promise every election cycle that they'll, you know, control their spending. They never, ever do.
No, they never do. And they're doing a particularly bad job of it right now. We had spending caps in place that were put in place a number of years ago. This deal, they just busted through them on all sides, like you said, on the discretionary spending, on defense spending, over 2 years, the tune of $320 billion, not paying for it, adding it to the national credit card. And not only that, they got rid of the idea of having spending cap going forward. So now there's no constraint on our budget. You can borrow as much as you want. You can spend as much as you want. And both parties are proving perfectly willing to do so. And there's very few people left who are ringing the warning bells about what it's going to do to our country and our economic and geopolitical strength if we continue to become over-indebted, which is exactly the course we're on.
How long, Maya, until our interest payments on the debt become our single biggest item on the entire balance sheet? How far away from that are we?
They are the fastest-growing item in the budget right now, growing faster than anything else. By next year, we'll spend more on interest payments than we do on all children. So we are spending more to finance the borrowing of the past than investing in the future. And these kids are going to grow up in a highly competitive world. We are not investing in them because we are paying for our own borrowing. 6 years from now, we're going to spend more on interest payments than we do on defense. And from there, it's anybody's guess because it's a question of how quickly interest rates spike up once you're spending that much when it becomes the single biggest item in the budget. But it is a glaring warning sign that interest is already growing faster than any other part of our budget.
Explain this part to me because I don't understand this, and maybe you can help bring clarity to the conversation for me. Our national debt is around $22 trillion, correct, or just over?
That's correct. But the total debt, which includes what we've borrowed from ourselves.
And that's what I wanted to ask you about. Thank you for that's the point that I wanted to make, Maya. And that is, we owe $8 or $9 trillion between departments. How does that work? How do we owe ourselves and so forth?
Yeah, it's really complicated, but it actually there's a method to this madness. I'm not saying it's a good one. We have borrowed about $16.5 trillion on the open market from treasuries, bills, bonds, and notes. We borrow some of it from U.S. savers, and as you pointed out in the beginning, a lot of it from overseas. But we also have a chunk of change that's in government trust funds, and we borrow that too. And it sounds more sketchy than it is. We borrow Social Security's money if when Social Security has a surplus, which it used to, it doesn't anymore, we would take that extra money, and instead of having the government buy stock, which I think makes a lot of us nervous, we'd invest it in super safe government treasury bonds. But that's the same method the government uses to borrow money. So we would then take the money out of the trust funds and spend it on defense, education,
all in the same,
and the environment.
All in the same little bucket of money. You're putting money in, you're taking money out. It's one bucket.
It's one bucket to the government. So in this part, one part of the government owes money to Social Security. We still have to pay that money. And so in total, we have $22 trillion in debt. We've committed to different areas overseas, U.S. savers, and the Treasury, the Social Security trust funds.
Yeah. All right. So here's my next question is, there's been a lot of discussion. In fact, I think Donald Trump might have said this on the campaign trail. It seems to ring a bell that somewhere around $24, $25 trillion Donald Trump, the candidate, said that is a point of no return because he talked about debts and deficits and everything that we owe to the world because at some point the bill comes due. So my point being is there a point of no return? Is it possible we've already passed it? And what happens? Do we become Greece? Do we become Portugal? Do we become insolvent? What happens?
Yeah, that's a great question, because the U.S. is different than other kinds of countries. One, we borrow in our own currency, which means we're not going to have the same kind of debt crisis that a developing nation would when they borrow in dollars. But what it does mean is that the kinds of crisis we'll have may be more invisible. It may, as one great economist once said, be like the termites in the basement. So it could come in the eroding of our growth. I would suggest we are already seeing slower growth because we've had high debt levels for so long, the past couple decades. It may come in interest payments, as we were just talking about, squeezing all the other parts of the budget, including the important investments that will make us stronger down the road. It may come in inflation. It's probably not going to come in a catastrophic crisis in the U.S., but we are very dependent on borrowing. And if suddenly the lenders, and these could be those from overseas, they could be China, don't want to lend you money, that means that could spike up our interest rates and put us in a recession. And I will point out that when President Trump talked a lot about the national debt, I thought he was going to come in and try to take a stand against it. But so far in office,
nothing.
The debt, well, something, he signed into legislation $4.1 trillion in increases.
No, I understand
so
that.
Far.
My point is nothing to stem the tide. And then
no,
you've got those on
worse.
The other side.
And
you've
this is bipartisan, right? Everybody's piling on this spending legislation. Democrats, Republicans, nobody is talking about how to control it anymore.
Yeah, and so now you have people advocating this new monetary policy, which is basically just print your way out of it, didn't the Weimar Republic try that?
It's always ended in catastrophe.
Yeah, the Weimar Republic tried that after World War One.
Yeah,
you know,
it didn't work so well.
Yeah, it didn't work so well. You can't print yourself out of it.
Free lunch economics. People the pedal that you don't have to pay for anything. And listen, we the voters have to listen carefully to our politicians. And if they're selling us something that sounds too good to be true, it probably is. And I will say this goes for tax cuts as well as spending. Tax cuts don't pay for themselves. Spending doesn't pay for itself. The printing press isn't going to get us out of trouble. It's going to get us into trouble. And we understand how basic finances work. We have to ask our government to not continue to print money and borrow, but instead, if we want to do something, pay for it, and we've got to control our spending.
Fair enough. Well, I greatly appreciate it, and we do need to control our spending, Maya. I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon. I mean, call me a pessimist, but I've been through this for an awfully long time. Maya McGinnis, greatly appreciate you being here, the president for the Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget. That's kind of an oxymoron, responsible federal budget. Anyhow, Maya, have a great weekend.
Thanks. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Good for being here. A quick break. We're going to get to your voting here, or my voting. The dumbest thing I've heard all week. Who's the winner? Who's the winner? You're the winner. You get to hear it all. You're the winner. So Steve Gruber will be right back.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, celebrating 60 years of being the leading voice for business.
I'm Jim Holcomb, Executive Vice President of the Michigan Chamber of Commerce. A crucial role of the Michigan Chamber is to listen to our members, gain an understanding of their business challenges, and provide real solutions to help them succeed. For the past 60 years, the Michigan Chamber has delivered powerful advocacy and business solutions on behalf of our 6,000 members who represent over 1 million employees across the state. As a member-driven organization, we keep our members at the center of all we do. We are proud to be the leading voice of business in Michigan. And together, we can make a difference to ensure Michigan is the best place to create jobs and support free enterprise.
Join the Michigan Chamber of Commerce today at michamber.com. The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, the leading voice for business. Moving Michigan forward.
It's hiring season in the construction industry, and have they got a job for you? Find out at michiganconstruction.com. Major companies are looking to fill positions all over Michigan. They're working on projects across the state, and so can you. If you're looking for a great place to hang your hard hat, check out MichiganConstruction.com. Apply now. You can have great pay, health care, benefits, and a future, because it just might be a career. Go to MichiganConstruction.com. That's MichiganConstruction.com, because Michigan is hiring.
Darren College, a former NFL Super Bowl champion, signed the most important contract of his life to serve in the Army National Guard.
I've had a lot of military in my family. It's a big part of what my family's done for a long time. I want to go out there and make a difference. I didn't find that working behind a desk, so for me, it was a pretty easy decision to make. And then the opportunity to serve my community and serve my country was just icing on the cake.
To learn how to be part of the Army National Guard, log on to NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Michigan Army National Guard. Aired by the Michigan Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Scratching on my first school dance takes confidence. So getting into college, I've got what it takes. So do you.
Visit KnowHowToGo.org to learn what you should be doing right now to prepare for college. Brought to you by the American Council on Education.